Well, good evening, everyone. Trust you had a good afternoon and had opportunity to rest a little bit. I know I got horizontal for a little while and put my feet up and then did some reading a little later. I'm going to apologize. I'll tell you now, I do not have handouts, but here's what I'll do. We're going to use about 19 different passages of Scripture tonight on prayer, and so I'll try to go slow in doing that, but here's what I will do. If you'd like a copy of the notes, it would be just a skeleton and not any ad lib that I do. Just let me know, and for a small offering and your little tissue, I will send you a copy. No, I'm just kidding. Just text me or email me an email, and I can send you that. Or Michelle, I can just send you the main points in the scripture verses to go with if you'd like to have that. But I do not have that tonight. But let me encourage you, don't try to take copious notes. If you would please stay with me and kind of follow along, I hope it'll be a help to you. It's going to be online later tonight or tomorrow. You can go back and listen again if you want to take notes, or just send me a message and I'll send you the points that go with it in the passage of scripture that'll make it easy. Nothing will be on the overhead, but I'll slow down to give you time to look through your Bible to find the passage of scripture, and we'll be no hurry. And if it takes a little longer than I expect, then I'll stop it off and pick it up the next week. No big deal. But I hope it'll be a blessing to you. It sure was to me this morning at 3:30, so I hope it was to you as well. So the ladies are going to sing for us here in just a moment. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and they'll open this service up with a song before we have our first congregational song. Father, we love you and do thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the blessings and joy of service and fellowship. Thank you for a beautiful, nice, cool building on a warm, hot afternoon, Father, and evening. We thank you so much for your provisions and your blessings upon us. Meet with us tonight. May we glean from the scriptures. May we be challenged, reminded more about the aspect of asking and receiving in our communication and prayer to you. We love you. We ask these things in the wonderful name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen.
Near the cross, opportunity to come into your house, a house of prayer, a house of worship, a house where you promise that if two or three are gathered in your name, you are in the midst with us, Lord. So we just ask that your Holy Spirit would bind our hearts in your love and your peace and your joy, and would teach us what you would have us to learn, to draw us closer to you, and to let us be the light that you would have in this often dark world. Just be with the pastor as he brings that message, and just show us how to truly show your love, Lord. Bless this offering, and thank you for being you. In your name and according to your will, amen.
D.D. Sterling in December of 1992 as we went to Canada school together for mission some many, many years ago. And so good to know that the church here was supporting them when we arrived and be able to keep in touch with them. And it's sometimes when you meet folks like that and you're involved in ministry, you don't see each other for 20 years. Sometimes it's so sweet that you pick up like you just talked to each other the day before because of the kindred spirit and being involved in missions in the same program. All right, back to what we're going to talk about tonight in prayer, and I want to encourage you. I have read books on prayer from John R. Rice, D.L. Moody, Mr. Andrew Murray, E.M. Bounds, Spurgeon, and Ravenhill. And Mr. Ravenhill said, revival delays because prayer decays. Let me say that again, revival delays because prayer decays. And I enjoy reading on prayer, and I want to encourage you to read your Bible. I do read my Bible because I have to study. I've read 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation multiple times as we study for Sunday morning, as well as Proverbs. But for me, some other study, I've been reading on the topic of prayer and revival for about a year now, and I've really enjoyed it. And I really hope it doesn't end too much too soon because I've enjoyed it so much. So if you do read another book, and some of these men are older on prayer and you've really enjoyed it, I'm free to take a recommendation, but I do have one pet peeve. I do not like to read books, no matter who it's written by, if they use 6 or 8 different translations in their book. Because to me, they're looking for a translation to make their point as opposed to letting Scripture make its point as well. So that's one of my pet peeves on that, on reading after other writers. But I enjoy books on prayer, books on revival. It's been a tremendous blessing. So let's go ahead and begin with a word of prayer, and I'll share an illustration from Brother Rice, and then we'll read our text, and we'll go right into a little study tonight. Father, again, we love you, and thank you for the privilege of being here. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as we glean from the Scriptures and glean from other men that I have read, and I'm sure many others have read other books on prayer as well. Lord, some of the quotes, I'm happy to give credit to those who said it first, and there's other quotes that I know that I use that I don't know who said it first, and I try to remember to say author unknown. But Lord, help me to be as original, as faithful as possible, giving credit where credit's due. And Lord, as you use me tonight to be a source of blessing and encouragement as we look for this aspect of prayer. Lord, help me tonight to be with those that are hearing and listening tonight, may be a blessing and encouragement to them. In Jesus' name, amen. Next week or the week after, depending on how much we get through tonight, we'll pick back up on our theme. Do you really know what you believe about? Looking at theology and Bible doctrine. Just really felt impressed of the Lord. Be prepared for next week because it changed early this morning in my studies. I really feel the Lord would have me to do this. Evangelist John R. Rice told the story of a man who dreamed he arrived in heaven and marveled at his glorious splendor as Jesus gave him a tour. Can you imagine? Of course, this is fiction, but can you imagine getting a tour of heaven by Jesus himself? So during this tour, they came into a room filled with beautifully wrapped but unopened presents. Curious, the man asked what they were, And with a gentle yet solemn tone, the Lord replied, "These are the presents I had prepared for my children, but they never came for them." I want to talk to you tonight about the aspect of prayer. Prayer means asking. So ask. Ask. Do we ask enough? Do we ask often enough? How much do we ask? And we talked a little bit this morning with men around the table about prayer this morning before we prayed, and almost used up some of our time talking about prayer before we started praying this morning. But the aspect of asking and receiving, and how much do we not ask? How often do we not? Or, and I made this statement, is I think when it comes to our prayer life, we should be more like we were when we were kids. And I mean that by this. All of us have raised children, have been around grandchildren, been around other children within our family. How many, we know many of them have a hard time saying no when they ask for something. They'll get a no, they'll go off and they'll pout, and they'll come back and they'll ask again. They might ask 15, 20 times over the next 2 weeks. Why don't we ask the Lord in the same fashion? Why do we not continue to go to Him and ask Him? Just because we don't get an answer, it doesn't mean it's no. And by the way, if we feel the Lord saying no, do we not read the scripture along the way where the Lord changed His heart about a request, a prayer? So we should keep asking. James chapter 4 and verse number 2 is where we'll begin with the first passage of scripture, and then we'll pick up a few more later. James chapter 4 and verse number 2, the Bible says, "Ye lust and ye have not. Ye kill and ye desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war and ye have not." And this is what I want to concentrate on, "because ye ask not." You lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have, and fight in your war and you have not, because ye ask not. See, why do we try everything but prayer, and then when the answer doesn't come, we still don't pray? Several questions I'll ask before we get to the first point. How many blessings have we missed out on because we failed to pray or don't pray consistently? There's many things I love about my grandchildren and my children when they were home, but now I'm experiencing more of my children. Grandchildren, sometimes when the kids come over, I tell them to move out of the way so I can get to the grandkids. You know, we enjoy our grandchildren. But some things I love about my granddaughters that live here, they're not afraid to ask me anything. They're not afraid to ask for anything. In fact, they can ask and break. One year they brought us a list of what they wanted for their birthday and they wanted for Christmas. When they're over at the house during Christmas season and some of the Christmas movies comes on or something's on or some of those funny videos they like to watch, they don't like Papa to fast forward through the commercials. They want to watch the commercials because they say, "I want that. I want that." They've got no problems asking. Why do we grow out of asking our Heavenly Father for things that we desire or things maybe that we need in our life? Again, how many blessings have we on because we stopped asking too soon or we gave up? We would all agree that we live in a world of limitations and some have more resources than others. However, there is a resource that we all have access to, yet fail to tap into it as we should, and that resource is prayer. There is no limit and no bounds of what our God can do and what He cannot provide for His children, but do we ask? Prayer is a limitless resource available to us, and is limitless because the resource come from heaven. One of our grand problem asking me for something, and I'll say no, and then I've gotten to the tone I hate telling her no all the time, so I'll tell her one day, or I'll say, "Well, maybe on your 5th birthday or on your 10th birthday," and she'll run off jumping up and down excited. "Papa said I could have it on my 10th birthday." I mean, she's thrilled. How excited do we get? Again, I know I'm using the children as an example, but what are they doing? They're asking. What does prayer mean? Asking. Going before the Lord to ask. Again, prayer is a limitless resource available to us, and it is limitless because of the resources come from heaven. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3, Jeremiah 33:3. There's a church outside of Raleigh, North Carolina, and their mailing address is Jeremiah 33:3. That is their mailing address. And the Bible says, "Come unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Do we believe that? Do we accept it as being truth? Do we practice it? You see, we cannot even imagine what God wants to do for us until we start asking. Our granddaughter Thea has been asking Miss Michelle to make her homemade vanilla ice cream. Vanilla ice cream. And Michelle has told her no a few times, and every time they come over, she asks again. She just keeps asking. And the other day, Michelle said, you know, I'm going to have to tell Thea that we'll go ahead and make some of that vanilla ice cream this summer. But the key to that is she kept on asking, because Graham's makes the best vanilla ice cream in the whole wide city. She makes the best ice cream, but she kept asking and asking and asking. Again, we cannot even imagine what God wants to do for us until we start asking. What are we asking for? Are we praying for revival in our community? Are we praying for results in our community for people to be saved? You know, it's easy to complain about the politics and what's going on in our world, but are we praying that God will change hearts, change attitudes, that God might even step in and see some folks come to know Him as Savior? Yes, we may not know how to ask or what to ask for when we pray, but the Word of God has revealed His will for us, and we'll look at some of those things tonight. Things will only happen if we pray. See, if Thea did not kept asking Michelle, or what my grandchildren call her, Grams, and has graduated to Gramsy now, they call her Gramsy. But every single week when Michelle picks them up on most Mondays and picks them up and comes home, somewhere along the way, and I don't know why she doesn't ask in the van, but when she gets home and I'm usually in earshot, she'll ask her for her homemade ice cream every single week. And even though Graham said, we'll see, or maybe, or not today, but she kept on asking. Again, aspect I want to emphasize before we share some points. Things only happen if we pray. Things only happen if we ask. Number one tonight, referring to our Lord and giving us an idea of things that we should ask or pray for. He wants us to be soul winners, so ask Him to embolden you to speak to others about Him. These are things we know that He will answer, because He tells us to ask for these things. Matthew chapter 4, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19, and He saith unto them, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. He tells you, you do this, follow Me, and I will help you to be a soul winner. I will help you to witness. I will help you to tell Christ. Acts chapter 4 and verse 29. The Bible says in Acts 4:29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto Thy servants that with all boldness they may speak Thy word. Again, even under pressure, even under difficulties, He wants us to speak His word, to ask Him for help to speak His word. Number two, not only does He want us to be a witness, but He wants us to have victory over our beset. So ask Him to show you a way of escape. Again, prayer, asking. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13. And we'll stay here in the New Testament most of the time, but we'll be in Psalms and Lamentations as well. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There have no temptation. What kind of temptation? No temptation taken you but is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So ask Him to help you to be a witness. Ask Him to give you victory over your besetting sin, to give you victory over difficulties and struggles that you have in your life. Maybe we struggle because we don't ask. Maybe we haven't had an opportunity to share a tract or share the gospel because we haven't asked the Lord to give us an opportunity to do that. Number three is found in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. He wants us to know Him deeply, so ask Him to teach you. The Lord is not going to put on something on us. I don't want to ask us to do something if He's not going to supply and make a way for us to do that. So He wants to know Him, so ask Him to teach you. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Here our writer says that I may know him. How well do we know the Lord? How well do we recognize and even see if the Lord reveals himself or shows himself strong in our life? How observant are we? Simple example, I can just about tell you who can answer these questions without even asking, but what color suit was I wearing this morning? Say again. The shirt was green, the suit was black. What color was my tie? Green. What color were my shoes? Yeah, yeah. What color were my socks? I hope you didn't know that because I didn't have high. I wasn't wearing high. What I'm saying is, how observant are we? How much attention to detail do we observe when the Lord puts things in our life? How many opportunities do we take advantage of when the Lord reveals himself to us? Do we recognize when he shows himself strong in our lives? I'm not talking about visibly seeing the Lord, but without a doubt, him directing us and revealing things in Scripture as we study the Word of God. He wants us to be a witness. He wants us to have victory and tells us to ask him. He also wants us to know him deeply. So if somebody was to ask you how well you know the Lord or to describe your relationship with him, would it just come off smoothly because of the sweet fellowship and relationship that you have with the Lord? Or would it take some time to reacquaint yourself or to remember what that relationship is like? Number four, he wants us to taste of his goodness. So ask him to show you his presence in your daily life. Again, he wants us to taste of his goodness. So are we asking him to show us his presence in our daily life? Psalm 34 and verse 8. I'm sure some of you have already thought of this verse when I mentioned the statement there. Psalm 34 and verse 8. The Bible says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Psalm 34 verse 8, that first phrase, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." And then over in Lamentations, a little further back in your Old Testament, chapter 3, Lamentations chapter 3, and we'll look at verse 22 and 23 in just a moment, but Lamentations chapter 3. He wants us to taste of his goodness, so ask him to show you his presence in your daily life. So again, I'll ask you a rhetorical question. When's the last time you asked the Lord to show himself strong in your life? To show you today. You know, even Gideon asked for a fleece for the Lord to do something for him, to ask if he should do this or to do that. And I believe he put the fleece out and wanted it wet, wanted it to be dry as dry, wanted it to be wet. He wanted to be sure and changed it up a little bit, wanted the Lord to show him. But how are we in our confidence when the Lord shows himself or reveals himself? Would we recognize for sure if the Lord would provide a way? Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22 and 23. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." So how new is your morning? I know we're all getting a little bit older, and we've talked much about our ailments and how it's growing old ain't for sissies, but how well is our relationship as we grow older physically, as we grow older spiritually? How close and how well developed is that relationship? How we know the Lord knows us, but how would we reveal him or to tell of him to someone else, a friend, a family, or a complete stranger? But if you were to be asked tonight and stand on your feet to share a blessing, when's the last time you tasted his goodness? This is not in my notes, this is free, but I just kind of had a thought. Could it be maybe we're not experiencing some of the goodness of the Lord because we're not bragging enough about how good he has been already in our life? Should we not brag on the Lord? Should we not share the blessings he's bestowed upon us and things that he has done for us in our life? And that's what those times of testimonies are. In fact, you don't even have to be asked to give a testimony. You can sit down and just share a blessing, how good God has been to you. Whether you're out at a restaurant having a meal with a friend or around the table at dinner time. You know, our daughter is conditioning our granddaughters to give testimonies and they don't even know it. Every evening, and we do this when the girls are at our house, we practice the same thing. But when they sit around the table to have a meal, they have a word of prayer, and then they start eating. And during their meal, they go around the table And everyone shares a rose and a thorn of the day. In other words, what was good about your day and what was a little sticky and not so good about your day. But they call it a rose and a thorn. And they go around the table and they share something good about what happened at school today, or maybe something didn't happen so well at school. And we enjoy it. And I always enjoy it when it's at a Grand's and Papa's house, because one of them, and sometimes more than one, will say, "We get to have a meal with Grams and Papa. We get to spend time with them." That was their rose of the day. And then, and it's what's really encouraging when they say, "Well, honestly, I don't have a thorn. I had a great day today." And we make a big deal out of that when they share no thorn today. We also share and make a big deal out of the rose. What are we doing? We're kind of conditioning them already to praise and thank God for the goodness of their day and things that are going on in their life. He wants us the taste of his goodness. Number five, he wants us to be filled with his Spirit. So ask him to fill you. And he wants us to be filled. The only thing is preventing it is us asking for him to do it in our lives. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 18. Then we'll go over to Luke 11. Ephesians 5, 18. "And be not drunk with wine wherein is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit." The Bible teaches us there in the book of Ephesians, filled with the Spirit. Therefore, are we asking the Lord to fill us afresh and anew, to guide us, to direct us in our life? Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 and verse number 13. "If ye evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask?" Are we asking the Lord to fill us with his Spirit afresh and anew, to empower us to be a good witness, to give us insight in the Scriptures when we read and we study our Bibles? He wants us to be witnesses. He wants us to have victory over our sin and things that we struggle with. He wants us to know him deeply. Let me add, he wants us to know him intimately. He wants us to taste of his goodness and his blessings, and he wants us to be filled with the Spirit. So ask him to do these things in our life. Number six, to be filled with wisdom. So ask for wisdom. Ask him to help you. Ask him to fulfill you with his Spirit, to give you wisdom and insight as you study, to give you wisdom as you have an opportunity to be a witness to someone. James chapter 1 and verse number 5. Ask him. This may seem little, but hey, I do this. I guarantee you the Pedersons did this. "Lord, give me wisdom and insight on choosing this vehicle that I need. Give me wisdom on purchasing this home that we're looking for on a relocation. Lord, give me wisdom," in whatever it may be, asking the Lord to help. James chapter 1 and verse number 5. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God." Is it really that easy? That's what the Bible says. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." Wisdom doesn't come just from an education. I'm talking about Bible wisdom, godly wisdom. It escapes me, and I think I've used this illustration before, but I'll go expand a little more. I'm trying to remember his name. But at one time, I had a little cassette tape. You know, back in the days when we were younger, instead of CDs and thumb drives, they had cassette drives. You know, that came after, was it after 8? But somewhere in there, anyway, it was the cassette tapes. And there was a gentleman who came to our church when I was stationed in Fort Hood, Texas, at Killeen Baptist Church. And he was a friend of our pastor, who was Elver Hall at that time. And he was in those days we would call him the garbage man. But he was what we call today, we call him something different. It's sanitation engineer. And this gentleman, I'm trying to remember his name, he had a third grade education. It didn't take long when you talked to him to realize his grammar wasn't so great. In fact, he really couldn't read very well. And he always dressed in a suit and had a tie as big as my fist. And if he opened up his coat, it was probably this short. I don't know. And I'm not trying to make fun of this gentleman. I'm trying to paint you a picture of seeing him. His grammar was broken. He was from South Texas. And God called him to preach. And he didn't know what he was going to do. "I can't read. I can barely write my name. What am I going to do? And some friends of his, our pastor was one of them, encouraged him and brought him to James chapter 1 and verse 5. If any man of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So right away, he began learning to read his Bible by playing a cassette tape and following along in his Bible the best that he could. The first time I ever heard him preach, he did not read the text. Somebody read it for him because he couldn't read it. And he preached that night for about 15 or 20 minutes, had just began preaching, had been preaching very long, quoted a lot of scripture, which tells me he had to spend a lot of time of play, rewind, because he could not read. But he asked the Lord to give him wisdom. Brother Leonard, some of the most practical inside examples of wisdom I heard from that gentleman who didn't even have a third grade education. Just practical little things from the Word of God as he shared his heart. James chapter 1 and verse 5. He wants us to be filled with wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. What kind of wisdom do we ask for? Let's read this verse again. If any of you men lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. I'm pretty sure when we ask for wisdom for the Lord and insight in Scripture to witness to others, to be a blessing to others, to learn to apply Scripture, I'm sure God will help us as we seek Him and we study the Word of God and asking the Lord to give us wisdom in many aspects of life. Wisdom. I'm fortunate enough to know several Christian businessmen as my younger years are growing up, and so many of them men, often I would hear them say, What do you do when you don't know what to do? I ask God, and I wait. I ask the Lord, and I wait. Number 7, He wants us to love others, so ask Him to increase your love. I know I tease often to tell everyone how much I like everyone. Some of you I love, but some of you I love all of you, but some of you I have a hard time liking. You know, I tease in those areas, but ask God to help you to love what you may think are the unlovable. Ask God to help you to love others as Christ loves you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12. Sometimes I wonder when we pray in John 13. So I wonder, and this has challenged me in my prayer life. Because I have to be honest with you, there's a lot of things I pray about. Wisdom is one of them without a doubt. Asking the Lord to help me to be a better witness and give me opportunities, without a doubt. But I don't remember the last time I specifically asked the Lord to help me the taste of His goodness better. I know I've asked the Lord to empower me and to strengthen me, but I don't remember the last time I asked the Lord to help me to love others the way He does. But the Bible says we're to do that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12. And the Lord maketh you to increase and abound in love toward one another and toward all men, even do toward you. Yes, sometimes it's hard to love others, but the Lord tells us here, He wants us to love others. So therefore, we should be praying and asking Him to increase our love toward others. All of us, at one time or another, out of fear or out of intimidation, have done this. You're walking down the road and you see someone that maybe is dressed a little strange to you or a little different, or you're afraid they might be intoxicated or drugs, use, whatever you may say. You do this with your kids and you go around. We've all done that at one time or another in the city or concerns. But how often have we done that? How often was it that we prayed the Lord protect us as opposed to, Lord, help me to love this one. Help me to see past their needs. Lord, give me the courage if there's an open door to maybe invite them to church or to be a witness or to give them a track. So often fear hinders us from praying and seeing things the way we should. Don't misunderstand me. It's a natural thing to shield your wife or to shield your children when you see something that looks intimidating. But what's wrong with once we're safe or in the safe zone to pray for that individual that we're not sure about? We are to love others. We are to pray for others. God wants us to love others, so we need to ask Him to increase our love toward others. Number 8, He wants us to be anxious for nothing, So ask him for peace. Ask him for peace. There's at one time or another, sometimes we struggle with anxiety or fear or whatever it may be, but he tells us, chapter 4, we'll be there in just a moment, Philippians 4. He wants us to be anxious for nothing, so we should be praying and asking him for peace, that we might overcome our struggles, overcome our fear, overcome our lack of joy. Of Philippians chapter 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Again, let them be made known unto the Lord. Ask him for peace, for he says, you shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So do we pray and go before the Lord when we're stressed or worried? Or do we go within and want to be alone or be away or be not around anyone? Or do we open up, invite him in, and talk to him and ask us, help us not to be anxious. Lord, help me to have peace and excitement and joy in my life. By the way, we can also pray these same things for others. Let me encourage you. Pray and ask the Lord to give your pastor wisdom. Pray and ask the Lord, gentlemen, to give Brother Mayo wisdom when he teaches Sunday school. Ladies, to give Michelle wisdom when she teaches her Sunday school class. To give, gentlemen, to give, the Lord may give each of us wisdom as we sit around the table on Tuesdays to have our discussion, because we learn from one another. So this prayer is not just for me and just for us, but we should also pray some of these things for others. Lord, help my friend who desires to be a great witness, to be a better witness. Lord, be with my friend, give him victory over the struggles that he's having that he has shared with me. Lord, help my friend. He wants to know you deeply. He's just got saved. He's in a discipleship program, but help him to learn deeply of you. Lord, help my friend to experience the goodness you have for him in his daily life. Help him to recognize and see these things. Lord, help my friend, and you fill in the name. Fill him with your spirit. Fill my pastor, Brother Mel, Miss Michelle, with the spirit as they teach. Give them wisdom as they study. Because why? Because you'll benefit from it. You will benefit from powerful, spirit-filled preaching and teaching of the Word of God. So ask him to do that as well as for others. He wants us to be anxious for nothing. And number 9, he wants us to seek his kingdom first. So ask him to help you prioritize his will for your life. So if we're going to make his kingdom first, and we're going to seek him first, we need to make sure we prioritize our daily life and our walk to make sure they're in order and that he is first. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Many of you know this by heart. Matthew 6, 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, and we can stop there for a moment, and we'll go on in just a moment. But Matthew 6, first, the kingdom of God. Let me share you something. If you do that, you're exercising wisdom. You do that, you're exercising being spirit-filled by seeking his kingdom first. So, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Yes, simply walking with the Lord, having a relationship with the Lord, seeking his guidance, seeking his wisdom, seeking, desiring to be spirit-filled in our life. The Bible says here that all these things shall be added unto you. We have not because we ask not. We ask amiss. This, again, a rhetorical question, but something you to think about. What do you pray for? What do you pray about before you come to church on Sunday? What is it you pray for? What is it that you pray about? Do you pray about the services? Do you spend time in those things? Now, this is just me. I'm not telling you what to do. This is something I have made a practice of for years, even before I was in full-time ministry. I believe I did, Michelle, you correct me if I'm wrong. Even when I began to get serious about serving the Lord, being in church, making sure my wife and children, all of us were there in church together ministering, I made some adjustments. And one of those adjustments that I made was Saturday was a day of preparation for the Lord's Day, Saturday late afternoon to evening. I still went to ball games. I still had fellowships. I still did things, but I wanted to be home in the late afternoon to early evening so I could get my mind and my heart at peace and looking and thinking toward the next day. If I was teaching a Sunday school, it was reviewing my notes back in the days before I went into ministry. Now it's, again, kind of reviewing my notes a little bit, setting those things aside. This is the kind of dad that I was and how serious I was. Again, we had four children, and three of those were girls, so you really understand this. Daddy had a rule. Sunday morning was not going to be chaos, because if the devil could throw a wrench in it, he will. So Saturday night, before the girls went to bed, they had to show mom the approval with what they were wearing the next morning. They had to show them the dress, the skirt, or whatever outfit they was wearing, what pocketbook they were going to carry, and what shoes they were going to wear. Because if not, 5 minutes before it's time to leave, they'd be running back inside because my shoes don't match my outfit. Oh, I need to go get the other purse. It will look better. No. I was trying to teach them to get your mind toward the things of God, toward worship, into church, because we want to experience His goodness. We want to experience His blessings. So let's start working our way toward that. It got to a while that sometimes my girls, sometimes now, will still tease me a little bit, but I would look at my watch. Sometime on Saturday afternoon, when the girls were younger, if one of them was sitting near me, they would go like this and cover my watch. Because they knew at a certain time, no matter what we were doing, it stopped for about 10 or 15 minutes. If it was an hour, it was on them. But 10 or 15 minutes to make sure they had laid out what they're going to wear, from their outfit, their shoes, their pocketbook, whatever they were going to do. And it did not change on Sunday morning. It did not change. And when the car pulled out, because it was time to go to church and they weren't in it, they got left. And if they got left behind and weren't at church, boy, you just don't want to know what happened then. It never happened. They were concerned enough about being ready to pull out when it was time to go to church. We got to church early, enough time to settle in, to fellowship, to be relaxed and not feel like we were rushing in or rushing to our service and then starting the whole worship rushed, as opposed to relaxed and ready to worship, ready to fellowship with other believers. That's just me and how I've done it for many years, because I really want to enjoy Sunday. I get up Sunday morning, most Sunday mornings, about somewhere between 4 and 5 o'clock, usually 5, unless the Lord says otherwise. And I get up early and I start my morning the same routine that I would normally have. I just add in a few other things, whether it be reading or studying in another area. God wants us to seek His kingdom first. So ask Him to help you to prioritize. So before we go on, let me encourage you to think about why you come to church on Sunday, and how do you prepare to come to church on Sunday? What do you prepare yourself mentally, spiritually, that you're ready to receive what the Lord has for you? Seek His kingdom. Number 10, He wants us to trust Him fully. So ask Him to strengthen your faith. Sometimes, you know, faith can be very hard, but other times it can be very, very easy. Anybody ever sat in a chair that just broke and fell out from under them besides me? Yeah. But you know what? Though it's happened once, I've never found myself inspecting the chair here at church before I sat down. That's a type of faith, type of blind, twice for you, huh? It's a type of faith, but what kind of faith do we have? Do we really have the faith to believe? Just like I know that chair will hold me up, I know God's going to speak to my heart today, because I've come prepared. I've come ready to hear what the Lord has for me by the pastor that God has given me in my life, or the teacher that God has given me in my life in our Sunday school hour, that the Lord may help me and teach me. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 5, and then Mark 9. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Again, He wants us to trust Him fully, so we should ask Him to strengthen our faith. Because strengthened faith will help us fully trust Him. Proverbs 3 and 5. Trust the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Once you start leaning into your own thoughts and understandings, you're going to lose faith in God. Now, I'm not talking about faith in God, believing in God. I'm talking about the faith in God for what He may want to do for you, or what you're asking Him to do when you start thinking on your own. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. If you go on to the next verse, it says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths, in verse number 6. Mark chapter 9 and 24. Mark 9, 24, we're almost finished. Mark 9, 24. Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Again, rhetorical question. Have you ever asked the Lord to help your unbelief? Ever asked the Lord to help you? Lord, I really want to believe you can and will do this, but Lord, I. So don't be afraid to ask the Lord, even if you're not sure he'll do it. Why not ask him to do it, then ask him to help you believe he will do it? That's what he's telling us here. He wants us to trust him fully, so ask him to increase or to strengthen your faith. You see, so often in our prayer life, we devise our own plan instead of asking the Lord what he thinks. Chasing the world could be the cause of chasing the world and worldly things in prayer instead of asking him for his plan for our life. When I go shopping for clothes, never mind, that's a false statement. I never go shopping for clothes. Got to tell the truth here. When my wife drags me to the store to go shopping for clothes, guess what? I stand there like a good boy and wait for my wife to say, try this on, try this on. And then when we find what fits on a shirt, we find what fits in slacks, she picks out a tie. Because if I went in there, I would be in and out of there in about 10 minutes and might not try on anything because my wife sent me to get some clothes. I'm going to accomplish the task. But she wants it to fit. She wants it to look good. So I take her with me because I know she will care for me and make sure I do it the right way. Can we not do the same thing with our Heavenly Father, knowing that he wants what's best for us? Let him do the guiding. Let him do the shopping. Let him provide the provisions for what we need in our life. And he wants us to fully trust him. So let's stop chasing the things of the world and say, Lord, what is your plan for my life? See, worldliness chases power, chases possessions, and it chases personal success. And that does not bring peace nor satisfaction for anyone. See, God clearly invites to ask because to bless us. But if you don't ask, you will not receive. So what are we asking for? I'm going to challenge you, and we're almost finished. What are you asking God to do in your life? What are you asking God to do at Harvest Baptist Church? What are you asking God to do in helping your pastor prepare? What are you asking God to do in helping ladies Michelle or men, brother male, or even the men around the tables I mentioned on Tuesday, ladies on Thursday? How much prep time do you go in to preparing that? It's called preparation. We got away for a couple days and went to Tombstone. I'm glad we could check it off our list because it wasn't all that, but we did it. And we came back, and it had been a bit of a long weekend in a hotel room, not my bed, not my pillow. Michelle travels with her pillow, so she had hers, but not my bed. And we got home, and we unloaded the car. We put everything away, and then I thought to myself, you know, I need about 30 minutes to an hour I want to look over my notes because I prepared early. I'd like to look over again tonight before we call it a day and just kind of relax. And Michelle says, good, I've got some prep work for dinner. So she went into the kitchen and she got out the sweet. So I'm going to give you the full a layout here and hope I can bring it around to make a point. And she got out her sweet potatoes, she got out her purple onions, and she got out a piece of pork. I think it might have been pork neck. But she got it out and she made it prepped, done all the seasoning, chopped up all those sweet potatoes in little cubes, chopped up all those onions, because it was going to be mixed together with some olive oil and thrown in the oven until it was really nice and soft to go along with that pork that we're going to have for dinner, and some zucchini squash or something we had. Boy, was it good. I said all that to say this. She needed prep time to prepare the meal that we would enjoy later. I needed a little more prep time to review before I printed them out to have them ready for Sunday morning for my last review before coming to church. How much preparation do we do before we read our Bibles? How much preparation do we do before we come to church? See, that preparation, when I study and prepare for a church, it's not just for me. It's for whoever walks in the door at Harvest Baptist Church. And we as a church should keep that in mind. When I prepare to go to church, I need to make sure part of my preparation is praying for others that will be there at church as well, on their behalf, praying for them. Brother Kevin does a lot of the custodial work. And you forgive me, Brother Kevin. I know you love your pastor, so don't be mad at me for sharing this. But I know part of his prep time on Thursday when he's here at the church, when he vacuums and cleans, he pauses a few moments and prays for each of you before the service on Sunday. Prays for his pastor. What is he doing? He's preparing for services on Sunday. Some of us might think, well, that's not much. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. It is much. It is so much. So very often when I come as well, I do the same thing as I walk through the church or sit down on a pew on a row during the week and just pray for a few moments and then move to the next row and to the next row as I pray around the auditorium. It's preparation. Because not only do I want to keep my heart sensitive to the people I minister to, I want them to come and be prepared as well to be ready for church. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 7. Matthew 7, 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. See, we should never feel guilty for asking too much. Think about it for a moment. Have you ever thought about that? Can you ask too much of God? So my first thought is, first of all, do we even ask? But dear friends, we can't ask too much. We should never not only feel guilty for asking too much, we should never fear to bring repeated requests to our Heavenly Father. Why not repeat? Why not? For some of you, it's easier because you forget what you asked for, but that's neither here nor there. We should continually ask repeatedly. Remember, like my granddaughters, like we did as kids, like our children did to us, asking over and over and over again. D.L. Moody once said, this really stood out to me. Some people think God does not like to be troubled with our constant coming and asking. And Moody responds with, the way I see it, to trouble God is to not come at all. Let me say that again. People think God does not like to be troubled with our constant coming and asking. The way to trouble God is to not come at all. I don't know how I would respond as a grandfather if my granddaughters quit asking me for things. Just quit. Just never ask me for anything. Especially when they crawl up in my lap and say, Papa, I love you. How much do you love me? You know, they want me to stretch out my arms and say, farther than I can reach, more than the whole wide, my girls have got off on this. It's not the whole wide world. It's the whole wide city is what they say. That's what they want to hear. How do we respond? How do we talk to the Lord? And how repeatedly do we come for the same thing? Jesus commands us to come boldly. He is moved by our persistence in prayer. And like our example, read in just a moment in Luke chapter 11 and verse 18, that he told the parable of the man who kept knocking on his neighbor's door late at night asking for bread. At first he was reluctant, but the Bible says finally he gave in because of his importunity or his persistence in asking. He didn't give in because he was his friend. He gave in because this guy kept asking over and over and over again. So why did God put this parable in the Bible? Why is it there? To you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. He will rise and give it to him, not because he's his friend, because so he'll quit asking, because he continually asked. How often are we asking? If persistence will move a reluctant friend, how much more does it move the heart of our Heavenly Father who loves us? God is not reluctant to answer. He is waiting for us to ask. No prayer, no experience of God's blessings. Again, no prayer, there'll be no experience of God's blessings in your life. Do not stop asking. Do not stop asking too soon. Keep coming to the Lord daily, believing He is able to do it. And dear friends, we know he can. Our unbelief is, will he? So if we know he can, keep asking and ask him to help our unbelief and keep asking over and over and over again. Ephesians 20, and we'll close with this. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Grasp that just for a moment. Breathe it in. Now unto him that is able to do so much more, exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think, above our wildest imagination, what we could ever think of, he is able, according to the power that worketh in us. And dear friends, I think part of that power is having the faith to believe and to ask. Been married 43 years. I wanted to count, make sure I got it right. I've been married 43 years, and it all started with this. I asked. Well, three times. But I kept asking. I kept asking. And finally, on number three, instead of giggling, she said yes. 43 years later, here we are. Again, my point, ask. Ask. But let me go one step back before I say ask, ask, ask. Why are we asking? So as we close tonight, I want to challenge you to think about your prayer life and what you're asking the Lord to do. And let's just be honest. What you're asking the Lord to do for your family. I'm talking about your kids, your grandkids, your siblings, your brothers and your sisters. Ask what you're doing and what you're asking the Lord to do for you. But what I want to focus on, what are you asking the Lord to do here at Harvest Baptist Church? What are you asking the Lord to do here in our city, in our county, Goodyear, Buckeye, Litchfield, Avondale? What are you asking the Lord to do in the lives of those people? When's the last time you prayed for the person that you didn't know who was going to serve you at the restaurant? When's the last time you prayed for the person that was going to check you out at Walmart or at Fry's? Well, Pastor, should I do that? I don't know. I'm just kind of talking off the cuff right now because I'm a little bit under conviction myself. How much do we pray for those that we see on a regular basis because we frequent the same stores in the same restaurants in the same communities week after week, month after month, day after day? But are we praying and asking God to do something? So one more time, now unto you that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So I'm going to ask you to pray exceedingly abundantly above what you could even think for God to do right here at Harvest Baptist Church. In your life, in your personal life, your family too. But don't forget Harvest. Don't forget those who sit next to you, behind you, in front of you. Don't forget your pastor, your Sunday school teachers, those who work with our children's ministries in the nursery. I'll go ahead and say it. When's the last time we prayed for those who worked in the nursery? All that yelling is going on back there, not in here. Come on. When's the last time we prayed for them? When's the last time we prayed for Brother Mike and Miss Kitty working with the kids or with them in there with all that energy that's bowed up and they can't wait to get out and they're ready to dart out when it's time to dismiss and they're not in here while we're enjoying the preaching and teaching of the word? See, we fellowship and we worship together. We work together individually, collectively, so everything takes place. And when's the last time we prayed and thanked God for those who prepare the building and the ground so they look nice before we come to worship? There's so much to be thankful for and to pray for. So let me challenge you to pray exceedingly and abundantly above all that you ask or you can even think for God to do in the row that you sit in. Let me challenge you tonight before you leave. Claim the row that you're sitting in and pray for God to fill it if it's not full. Ask God to do something and then ask God to use you to show yourself friendly to make sure that row is filled and then pray for the services as well. So let's pray together as we dismiss. Father, again, thank you for the joy of service and fellowship and the aspect and the whole idea behind prayer. Prayer means asking. So Lord, help us to ask exceedingly abundantly above all that we could even think, to ask you to do the big things. And Lord, we'll take care of the little details and be faithful and to be here and leave you to do what only you could do. For Lord, we pray every week and ask our Heavenly Father to do what only He could do in our midst. And Lord, help us to do it on a regular basis with anticipation, exciting, looking for what you can do and will do. Now, Father, dismiss us with your love. Lord, bless our fellowship. Bless our conversation. May you be uplifted and glorified. May we be edified by the encouragement of one another. Now, Father, dismiss us with your love. We ask in the wonderful name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen. All right, as always, I know we're a little bit longer tonight, but God loves you. His preacher loves you. I trust it was a blessing and helped you tonight. God bless you. You're dismissed.